scripture passage this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A garden is a most hopeful place. On May 8th, Mother's Day, many of us spent the afternoon out in the beautiful sunshine tending to our gardens. Some of us had new vegetable and flower seedlings we had just purchased that morning from the Westminster Preschool fundraiser, and others had lovely plants they had just received at church that morning for Hostamania. My husband and I, approaching our third summer here in Nebraska, are finally getting the hang of gardening. To put it more specifically, we're finally learning how not to kill everything we plant. So we, along with all of our neighbors and many of our friends, spent that day gardening. We were all in good spirits, trading seedlings over the fence with our neighbors, sharing shovels and trowels and rakes. And after several hours, we were achy and sweaty, bug-bitten, and covered in that weird grime that forms on your skin when dirt mixes with sunscreen. And as we surveyed our handiwork at the end of the day, we said, "That was fun. That was really fun." The next afternoon, when the storms rolled in and the softball-sized hail came down for hours, we watched all of our flowers lose their petals and all of our vegetable seedlings get buried under 3 inches of ice. The following morning, we surveyed the mess and said, "It wasn't that fun." But it did give us the chance to spend another day in the garden. And that's when it occurred to me that a garden is a most hopeful place. It is a place where we plant small things in hopes that they will become big things. It is a place where we make conscious decisions about what goes and what stays. It is a place where we create order. And there is a process to gardening. When you start preparing your garden in the spring, the first thing you must do is clear out the debris. You know what I mean by debris, right? It's all the stuff that's in your garden that shouldn't even be in the garden. The rotting leaves you didn't rake up last fall. The deflated balloon that floated over the neighbor's fence and into your yard during a birthday party. The chewed up tennis ball your dog dropped. These things may seem harmless, but they will destroy your garden if you don't remove them. The career that is eating away at you with stress and anxiety. The temper you can't seem to control. The extramarital affair. Next, you have to pull out all of the things that are growing in your garden that you don't want to grow in your garden. The dandelions and spurweeds. The wild onions, the henbit. You didn't plant these things, but that's just how weeds are. They appear suddenly, and they quickly grow out of control. The dependence on alcohol you are finally ready to acknowledge. The bitter estrangement from a family member. The depression you've been tiptoeing around. The resentment you've been harboring for someone for far too long. Finally, you must clean out all of the things you planted last year that never grew. The shriveled shrub. The tomato seedlings that never came up. The strawberry plants that didn't take. The relationship you had been so excited about. The plans for a baby that never came. The retirement that has left you feeling empty instead of satisfied. The job you were hoping would inspire and invigorate you, but has left you cynical and bitter. Now that the ground is clear and the soil is turned, you're ready to plant new things. Consider putting in some hardy vegetables, the bell peppers and cucumbers, the zucchini and the eggplants, the things that will feed and nourish you all summer long, that degree you've always dreamed of obtaining, a new friendship, the volunteer organization you've been wanting to join, a ministry opportunity that is tugging at your heart, the advocacy work you feel called to do, changes to create a more healthy and holistic lifestyle, purposeful quality time with your family. Consider also putting in some less hearty items, some things that are just for fun, planted for no other reason than the joy they will bring you. Annual flowers like petunias and impatiens, berry bushes that won't produce fruit for a few years, and when they finally do, they're going to be the size of pencil erasers. Things that are sweet and bright and cheerful. Spontaneous date nights with your spouse. The cycling group you've considered joining. Dinner with old friends. Spending time with your nieces and nephews and grandchildren. Long walks in nature. Now that your garden is planted, you will have to become a gardener. And this is the hard part, I think. This is where my husband and I went wrong our first season. So you can't just put things in the ground and expect them to flourish. Gardens need care. They need water. They need weeding and pruning. Sometimes they need fertilizer. It doesn't take a miracle to bring a garden to life. It takes a faithful gardener. The weeds will constantly come back and need pulled out. The good seedlings will need regular hydration. The debris will find its way back into your raised beds. And yes, sometimes the storms will come and wreck everything, causing you to start over anew. The unexpected health issue, the sudden layoff, the divorce, the bankruptcy. But if you continue to cultivate the soil, if you continue the ongoing work of clearing away the things that inhibit growth and care for the things that offer life and love and hope, Scripture says your harvest will be plentiful and rich. We reap what we sow, the Bible says, and so we must make sure that we sow seeds that are intentional in our lives. Seeds of generosity, seeds of love, seeds that serve others, seeds for the body, and seeds for the soul. And so my challenge for you today is to take stock of your garden. What debris needs to be cleared out? What weeds need pulled? What dry, shriveled things from seasons gone by need to be removed? And what will you plant to bring forth goodness, justice, and love? What are you hoping to harvest in the future? The Austrian poet Rainer Maria Rilke writes, though he works and worries, the farmer never reaches down to where the seed turns into summer. The earth grants. A garden is a most hopeful place because we are trusting in this magical act of growth, this divine moment when the seed opens up and new life comes forth. This is where our God earns the title of Master Gardener. You see, our God is in the business of making all things new, like bringing tax collectors and sinners back into community, empowering the weak, pronouncing the suffering as blessed, and giving dignity to the adulteress. Our God is in the business of transforming tiny seeds into big, fruitful plants, like coming to us in the form of a newborn baby who will then become the Messiah, and choosing 12 ordinary disciples to form a global church in what is now the world's largest religion. Our God is in the business of clearing away debris and weeds and pulling up new life from the dirt, like facing death and darkness and sin on the cross, and then rising from the tomb. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, you need one thing to move mountains, just one little thing, a mustard seed of faith, a seed. That's it. That's all you need. One tiny, dry, hard, seemingly lifeless seed. From that, with a little water, a little sun, a little care, and God's mysterious and endless grace, an entire garden can grow. And it is.